This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Put him now. But again, I still think the ungodly amount of money that he's making, I guess he could be worth it for a lot of different reasons.
Right! Needle mover! You're describing a needle mover!
Yeah, but you know what I mean by a needle mover. Like,
yes, I do! That's why he's...
Like, when Aaron Judge is up at bat, everybody wants to see that at bat. Everybody. Because I think he's going to hit it out of Yankee Stadium.
Listen, Soto was way more entertaining at the plate prior to swinging the bat than Judge is. He's all over the place. He's grabbing himself. He's moving around. He's all right, we got to take a break.
Just take the L on this.
Yeah, he's a needle mover.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live with Bill Ford Dove Studio. Oh my God. I put the bajankles into the CBS Sports sneakers and they're trying not to show. But I don't think you can't see them.
You can't see
the top of them. You can't see what they are. It's only on the top. So, you can't see it.
Should have thought about that.
I'm so mad at myself. I was so excited. I wasn't thinking of bajankles. I was so excited just to show the sneakers. I was thinking that was good enough by itself, but no. I mean, if I turn them around, maybe that's even better probably for you guys. If I turn them around this way. Now you really can't see. All right. There you go.
Oh, man.
Just got to flip this around here.
It's pretty hilarious.
I mean, it looks perfect. All right, there you go. Oh, did I have it wrong, actually? Should have done it this way.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking opening day. You said that Juan Soto isn't a needle mover, which I think is nuts.
I'm glad he's on my team, though.
Yeah, but, I mean...
You know, like Tiger Woods, needle mover.
Well, duh.
maybe the ultimate needle mover.
I would agree. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that Juan Soto is Tiger Woods, but if you're doing... the needle mover discussion, I think that you can't leave Soto out after everybody was clamoring for him this offseason. And also tell me.
I think there are only two teams clamoring for him.
No, that's not true. The Dodgers offered him more money, allegedly.
Yeah, but.
And then remember the Blue Jays had him for a visit?
Yeah, I think that was your boy. Scott Boras.
Listen, both teams.
Just upping everything for Juan Soto, and then he had to get him a suite.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Bryce Harper a needle mover?
I think at one point in time he was. Not now.
When was that point in time?
When he was a free agent.
Okay, and Juan Soto blew that free agent contract away.
He and Steven Strasburg were both needle movers when they were young kids.
Yeah.
Like, people were really interested in them.
Yes. But, I mean, when he was a free agent, I mean, Juan Soto as a free agent, that was a bigger pursuit by other teams than it was with Harper, and he got so much more money.
You know, I just think, like, Magic Johnson, needle mover. Larry Bird, needle mover.
It's a hard thing to do when you're going back in time.
I'm just trying to think about, like, when those guys came into the NBA, what the NBA was like, and then all of a sudden the NBA exploded because of those personalities and the way that they played basketball and how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Needle movers.
Okay. Let's see what we have here. Zach in Massapequa. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, love the show, guys. Boomer, you should walk into the Evan and Tiki studio and grab an L. I mean, needle movers don't bat 205 in the postseason.
Are you talking about Aaron Judge?
Yeah, or Casper the Ghost, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can call him whatever you want. Yeah, it's fine with me, but I'll tell you right now, people love Aaron Judge. They want to see Aaron Judge play.
Yeah.
And they want to see him hit, and they flock to see the Yankees because of him.
If your argument about Soto being a needle mover involves Judge not being a needle mover, then you don't have a good needle mover argument.
You know, I think, and I know that, Juan Soto, to me, is a great hitter. He's got a great eye. That's why he was on base three times yesterday. Unfortunately, that eye didn't work in the last at bat of the game. I understand all that. He is a tremendous hitter. He's not, like, to me... Like, Ricky Henderson was, like, an exciting baseball player. Shohei Ohtani is an exciting baseball. Like, they steal bases. They make people nervous when they're on the base pass.
Did you not watch Juan Soto last year at the Yankees?
A great hitter. I'm not saying he's not.
But he's exciting. When every time he comes to the plate, he's really exciting. He is.
Listen, I know people.
Is Aaron Judge stealing bases?
People are going to take what I am saying and turn it into something that I'm not saying. I'm just saying to you that there are certain players that when you see them, like, they're completely different than everybody else that's on the baseball field. Now, when it comes to hitting, I will give you that Juan Soto is that. And I'm glad he's on my team. I told you that a million times. I don't think of any baseball player, maybe other than Shohei Ohtani, is worth $700 million. I'm sorry.
Buddy Chris and Hal joins us. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Boomer, I got a question. Out of all the on-air personalities at WFAN, who would be the needle movers?
Wow.
That's a good question.
Chris always loves taking the topics out from the sports world and putting them here in WFAN, and I really appreciate
it. Who's a needle mover here?
For that, needle movers.
Well, the needle's been stuck on number one here for a long time, so I don't know what to tell you. We don't have to move the needle.
Needle here has been moved and has stayed
for 18 years,
which is a harder thing to do to keep it there. So, other than that, needle movers, got a needle mover?
No,
really, no needle mover.
Do you?
I could say Sal could move a needle.
Marash
is a needle. He's a you know, he gets people annoyed.
That's,
you know,
a needle mover. The needle moves. Like, he can get people hot.
Yeah, I could say,
That needle moves to, like, scalding.
True. Yeah, you can get those guys. How about this? You know, they're on their way to being needle movers.
On the way.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm putting words in your mouth. I have a different needle mover definition you do, apparently. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I've given you my idea of needle movers. Tiger Woods, needle mover.
God.
Right? I mean, I will tell you. Michael Jordan, needle mover. Kobe Bryant, needle mover.
Okay.
I do. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds, they were needle movers.
They were definitely needles. That's right. Those guys.
And they were needle movers and users.
Let's go to Joey in Westchester. What's going on, Joey?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good,
Boomer, I got to say, man, look up Google and type in who hit the fourth most home runs last year in Major League Baseball.
Juan Soto did. Yeah. I know.
You said Juan Soto's not a home run hitter, man.
I know, but I think he's more of like a contact, high average hitter. That's how I look at him. I know he's a, when it comes to hitting, he's as good as there is in baseball. There's no question about that. But do you think he is, by definition, a five-tool player?
No, and I don't think a five-tool player is a major deal when you have, when your one tool of the hit tool is that valuable. So like Gio was saying, like, have you watched Juan Soto? Like, watch his at-bats, man. Like,
I know, he's competitive. He's competitive as hell in the batter's box. 100%.
It's one of the most exciting things to watch in baseball, in my opinion, just the way he spits on pitches and and just the way he approaches the game at the plate. I'm a Yankees fan, I hope you enjoy him, man.
From a Yankees fan.
I understand. I will enjoy him, but I'm glad he's on on our team. And quite frankly, I wanted him like 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay, so what is your point?
I don't know. Katie in Staten Island. Katie, what's happening?
Hi, Boomer. Good morning. Hi, Gio. Love you guys.
Hi.
How are you? Huge Yankee fan, okay? But I know what happened to Boomer with the needle mover and Juan Soto because it happened to me. So Juan Soto is like the guy or girl that you see from afar for a while and you're like, oh my God, this person's gorgeous. I wish I could meet them, blah, blah, blah. Then they come, you meet them, you start talking to them and you're like, whoa, no thanks, I'll take a pass.
Katie.
Wow.
Katie, hold on a second. This guy had his best offensive year on his way to a Hall of Fame career last year with the Yankees. He hit a humongous home run in the ALCS. It was the first time you guys had been to the World Series since 2009 when he got there. And you're telling me you don't want him?
No, I don't want him at all. Nope.
Did you? No. You didn't want him to re-sign back? You're not just doing
this? No, I did not. No, I wanted him before he came. And then as soon as he came, maybe like halfway through the season, but definitely in the playoffs, I was like, nope, I want to pass. My brothers and father are all Mets fans. I'm like, please, dear God, let him go to the Mets.
But why, though?
Because he's that person. He's just that person. It's like all coding and, you know, beauty and shiny on the outside. But then you get him and you just know he's draining the team. I'm more of a team person. I take a pass. I'm dead serious.
Listen, Katie, he drained that team all the way to a World Series appearance that they hadn't seen in a long time.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I can understand where Katie's coming from. She probably also has a little bit of, anger that, you know, he didn't want to stay with the Yankees.
This is getting ridiculous. You want to tell me, like, a needle mover discussion? Fine. But you're going to tell me that you don't want the guy and he's draining the team? Like, what?
There was something that went on there.
What do you mean there was something that went on there?
Like, if he really wanted to stay with the Yankees, he would have stayed with the Yankees.
Yeah, no.
I mean, $700 million,
but that
does nothing.
But that's a different discussion. Where he ended up is a totally different topic.
One more year is another year. He's already got Hall of Fame numbers. He's already going to be a Hall of Famer. We all know that.
No, but what I'm saying is, though, that him staying with the Yankees is not the same discussion of how good of a player he is. That's more of a discussion about the Yankees organization than it is how great of a player Juan Soto is.
Right, but you got to admit, needle mover, Ohtani, Judge, and Skeens.
Yeah, I put Soto in the needle mover conversation. He's a needle mover.
Well, you put him in the conversation, he's in the conversation, so.
Needle mover. Let's go to Larry in Medford. What's going on, Larry?
Not much. What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
So, Bobby Witt Jr.
Yep. Needle mover.
His numbers were better than Soto's last year.
Yeah, but it's not. But that's not a needle mover.
I don't feel like there's juice around him unless you're a Kansas City Royal fan, you know? I mean, like, there's no... Yeah. I understand, as a baseball fan, I have nothing but mad respect for him.
Wow.
He's a five-tool player, though.
He is a five-tool player. But listen, he also signed... But you got to remember, Larry, here's one big part of it, too. The Royals came to him with a contract to keep him around. It was worth a lot of money, which is fine. And he took it because he doesn't know where his career is going to go. He's early on in the contract, bought out his arbitration years. If he had waited till free agency like Juan Soto did, and all the years of who he's going to sign with and teams trying to sign him and trading for him and all this stuff, and then got to free agency, he would have been a needle mover. But now he's in one of the smaller market places, and he's already under contract there. He's not going anywhere. It's tough to be a needle mover there.
All right. But, he's a better player than Soto. Soto doesn't even hit 300. And you're acting like he's the greatest hitter in the world.
Nobody's sitting here saying he's the greatest hitter in the world. He's one of the best hitters in baseball.
Well, you're telling me every at bat is so exciting.
It is.
It is.
No, it is exciting. It doesn't mean, you could be exciting at the plate and also suck. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he's both. He's exciting at the plate and really good. You know, I mean, there's guys who swing all over the place and sometimes connect, sometimes strike out. And you're like, oh, my. It's like Jameis Winston. He's exciting, but he stinks. Know,
when he was a player, A-Rod was a needle mover.
Yeah, and
I'm going to say something here that people aren't going to like.
Yeah?
Derek Jeter was not a needle mover. He was a clutch player.
I understand what you're saying.
You see what I'm trying to get to?
Yes, but I am. Here's the thing. I agree with your whole needle mover premise.
Okay.
I'm in on it. I just think that I can't. What I'm confused about is how you don't see the same things in Soto that I'm seeing to put him in the needle mover conversation. Like, I don't just totally understand your Jeter, A-Rod, needle mover thing. I get it. I don't think that's all that controversial because I know what you mean.
But, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm.
If you want to say that Juan Soto is the fourth needle mover in baseball, I'll give you that. That there are three other guys that move the needle more than he does initially.
James in Jersey City. What's going on, James?
Hey, I'm a big fan of you, but you're totally wrong on this needle mover thing. First off, you're saying he's not a home run hitter. That doesn't make him a needle mover. You got guys like Ichiro. You got guys like Ted Williams. Not home run hitters. Massive needle movers. Then you got the 5-tool player thing. What about a guy like Manny Ramirez? Can't even play in the field. Massive needle mover. So what are we really talking about?
Needle movers.
Talking about guys who change a franchise. They put butts in the seats. They sell jerseys. When they're at bat, it's must-see TV. He's must-see TV. He's a needle mover.
You know what?
Go ahead,
James.
How is Derek Jeter not a needle mover? I'm a Mets fan, but you serious? Derek Jeter?
He's clutch. He's clutch. Different. Yeah. Different. Derek was a steady, consistent, clutch baseball player.
Yeah, and also, I mean, not everybody has the qualities that Derek Jeter had. You know, the captain, the leadership, the calmness under pressure, and all those things that he had. I mean, to be the captain of the Yankees, those are a lot of qualities.
And to deal with everything that comes along with that and the expectations, the stress, the tension, all of that. I mean, you know. He's probably one of the great captains in New York sports history.
Yeah, and the other thing that he brought up, I should have brought up, that really cements the point of Juan Soto being a needle mover. Call up the Mets ticket office and ask them if Juan Soto's a needle mover. They didn't sell out their season ticket plans because Griffin Canning is here.
No, that's true, but that's one baseball team and one baseball player. People want to see Aaron Judge. People are going to want to see Paul Skeens when he's pitching. You know, they're going to want to buy tickets to see that particular player, I believe.
Okay, and the same with Juan Soto. They
did. For the Mets, yes, but I'm talking about, you know, when they go on the road. Like, when they go on the road, Aaron Judge is, like, the man.
But they're also the Yankees.
But he's the man. He's
But the Yankees have always been a draw on the road.
He hits bombs for home runs.
I know he does.
His launch angle...
is... Just, you know what? You can go screw yourself now. Now you're taking it too far. You've been taking it too far now.
This is going to be a whole discussion. On this
oh, my God. No, now. Yeah. Rami out there is walking around with half a chub with this going on.
His head is spinning.
You love something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is a feel-good Friday. CeeLo is here. He's got another update for us. What's happening, CeeLo?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. So we got that first home run call from Dave Sims earlier as Austin Wells went deep to lead off the bottom of the first yesterday at the stadium. Not a no-doubter, but Dave was on top of it. Now the Anthony Volpe home run an inning later, maybe not as obvious.
1-1 pitch, jammed him. Hits it to right field. That's a good jam shot. It's on the track. Looking up. It's gone. Oh, my goodness. Off the middle of the bat, Anthony Volpe muscles one out. And the Yankees have a 2-0 lead.
And in his defense, that one, at least on TV off the bat, did not look like it was going to be a home run, but...
That's the Volpe.
Yeah. No, I agree. And he was right. It was a jam shot. Yeah. He did not catch that in the barrel of the bat, and he still hit it out.
Powered it out to right field.
Short porch.
Yeah. Short porch.
Sure yes. was.
Yep.
Yanks built a 4-0 lead after seven as Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger tacked on RBIs in the seventh. So Devin Williams on to close it out against his former team had quite the sweat. 36 pitches that he did end up striking out Jackson Churio and Christian Yelich to nail down a 4-2 win. Asked how he stays calm, cool, and collected in those spots.
I don't know. You know, I think it's just kind of my personality. I'm very laid back, low-key. So, you know, there's really no other option. It's either, you know, I get this guy out or... we lose the game.
And it sealed a victory for Carlos Rodon, who was solid across 5 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, couple of walks, and 7 strikeouts, and then survived that tumble which he took trying to cover first base on a ground ball to Paul Goldschmidt from the speedy Sal Freeland.
It seemed like I was slow getting out of that turn to get to first, and I was trying to pick it up, and I just lost some footing and looked real unathletic there. So, yeah, I'm fine. I got a cherry on my knee, and I was telling Pettit, I was like, I haven't had one of those in 16 years, you know, since high school baseball. So, you know, I got dirty today.
Always good to hear him laugh. He can run a little intense, as we've learned.
Yes, he can.
Looks a little more comfortable with the beard now, you know?
Yeah, so. I know. It didn't seem weird to me.
No.
I don't know. You're a Yankees fan. I don't know, but it didn't seem weird to me, him having a beard.
Not him. I mean, in general, the idea of it maybe take a little getting used to, but for him and Devin Williams, who, when you've seen them with other teams, are guys that rock the beard.
How would you feel if we had a policy around here not allowing beards?
Oh, it would be
actually
horrible.
Force me to lose some weight.
It's just the worst.
The two of you guys both wear beards.
Yeah.
It would be pathetic for me. I look like a belly button. It's not good at all. Need to have the beard.
Yeah, a little something, some scruff. Cover up the bad spots that we've got, you know. Don't have that smooth look like you do over there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't look good when you have the facial hair going. It's not your look. You need a clean-shaven look. For us.
I can't even recall seeing you with much facial hair going.
It happens occasionally.
Every now and again.
Like a little stubble, maybe.
Maybe.
That's it.
But
right.
This is you. You're the clean-shaven guy. Been
now,
your whole life.
Are you an electric guy or original razor?
Razor.
All right. Very nice.
Would you ever consider bringing back the mustache that you used to have?
Oh, no.
That would be
awesome. I know.
And the mustache, while I can't stand it, is in again these days. A lot of these guys are rocking the mustache.
Skeens. No. Mustache guy.
Among many.
Yeah.
I think a lot of like college guys have mustaches.
Hipster college guys.
Like they have cool hair and mustaches.
Mm.
Like Austin Wells is still rocking it, right?
One of the guys from Temptation Island that got the hot chick mustache.
Really? Yep. I got to start watching Temptation Island. I haven't seen it yet. It's on Netflix now, too, so this probably could be a little even more action. Used to be on USA. So
unfiltered.
Love myself some Temptation Island.
Mm. Unfiltered and the mustache. You can see where maybe that... I could get a little...
A mustache ride is a thing on Urban Dictionary.
Okay, right? I didn't want to say it just in case.
Well, I don't know. It's just two words.
Not
it's just
me?
I don't know what it is, but
that
I know it's an Urban Dictionary
thing. First thing that came to mind for me when Al combined Temptation Island and a guy with a mustache.
Yeah, but I don't... Yeah, don't look it up, but yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, don't look that up.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but...
Right.
You know what it
it's
is,
something.
Boomer? Mustache ride?
I have an idea, yes.
I would think most do, and that's why you don't need to look it up.
You don't need to look it up?
Yeah.
69!
not quite, but...
Oh, yeah, that was me with the mustache.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
dude.
I know. How about that?
Man, they should have put you on that pizza
box. Well, that was the whole point. That's what we were talking about. That's why I was holding it up. I said you should put my face in this pizza box. I know.
That is quite the time capsule right there.
Woo. Wow.
Man, not your finest look.
No. It was not.
You've come through it okay, though. All right, Yankees, Brewers, the typical off day after the opener, you know, outdoor, cold weather environment, all that. So they'll resume the series tomorrow afternoon. Max Fried and Nestor Cortez will face, of course, his former team, now a member of the Brewers. So Joe Buck, yes, was back calling baseball after a few years away, this time for ESPN, and they love a good in-game interview with the manager. But Buck, a little rusty on the mechanics of how that works, and that played out live on the air yesterday.
Top of the fourth inning, Aaron Boone is... with us, and Aaron, you got to be thrilled with the way Rodon has thrown the ball here for the first three innings.
Really thrilled. Hello?
must be an ESPN thing with Aaron Boone, who used to work at ESPN. Booney, can you hear us? That's fine. Just manage the game. Don't worry about it.
You think he's ignoring you?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I think he is invested in this, and now it's over.
And real quick, before G and I have more of a laugh, Buck was happy to take
this. Hold on a second. When we get young visitors, you got to give us a heads up. Yeah. You never know what I'm going to have on the desk. You know what I'm saying? You need to know.
These are Seton Hall students.
Yeah,
they're of age.
All right,
no problem. They're adults.
All right, good.
Legally.
They may even have them.
Yeah, right. I didn't know. Maybe they were middle school, high school kids. I don't know. But anyway,
okay.
All right, you guys can handle it.
Yes.
Took the vajankles away. Now they're back. Glad we got that cleared up. Here was Buck, happy to take the heat for the malfunction there.
It's my fault. I'm the one that got up. I was supposed to do it during the break, and then it's on me.
Well, you are out of practice for baseball.
I am.
It's been a while, Joe, huh?
Been a little bit.
He gave you that it's on me. He didn't say my bad.
But so is this like just the only game he's doing this year?
I think so. I think it was a one-off.
They moved him in because they figure he's a needle mover.
He's a needle mover. Right. Yeah. National
That's the
game.
Only game he's doing?
I don't know for sure. But okay. The fact that
I thought that they dropped him in because it was opening day.
Yeah,
it was Yankees,
that's what I thought.
And it was ESPN.
And he got Girardi and the Brewers analyst, whose name is escaping me at the moment. Those were his partners yesterday. And they had a grand old time.
By the way, if you put mustache ride into Google.
Sir, you're going to remove the vajankles for the students, but now.
Well, I found out they're college kids.
I'm going to break down mustache ride.
They know mustache ride, they'd probably know all about. Right. Is it mustache ride can refer to a few things, including a fun annual event in Steamboat Springs, Colorado?
I think we need to look into that, find out what that's all about.
But it most commonly refers to a rolling costume party and pub crawl. Benefiting the Rout County Humane Society.
Really? Most commonly?
That's what it says. That's what
And that's on Urban Dictionary?
Wow. That's not on Urban Dictionary. Okay, Urban Dictionary is a totally different thing. But who knew?
I did not, most commonly.
Fun annual event. Hey, we're going to the mustache ride this year. It was so much fun last year.
What are you hoping for? A muff.
All right. What else, CeeLo?
Maybe we send Al to that. Event or convention or whatever it is.
Live from the mustache run.
Yeah. Mm. All right. The Mets offense in Houston slept for 8 innings, awoke in the 9th against Astros closer Josh Hader. Loaded the bases with Lindor and Soto coming up. Lindor just missed on a sack fly to get the Mets on the board, but Soto, after getting ahead 3-0 on Hader, struck out to end the game, a 3-1 Mets loss. Here he was on that pivotal at bat facing Hader in the 9th.
He's a closer. He's one of the best closers in the league. I think his stuff is nasty, everything he do, and he's really smart on the mound, so I think that's why he's still been so effective.
Now, as part of a 52-minute Rico Bronya podcast last night, Evan Roberts was in, as you'd imagine, full breakdown mode of this top of the 9th, including our guy Whole Foods, 27-year-old rookie Hayden Senger. Last hour, you guys were talking about a potential Disney moment for him there in the 9th. Evan wasn't nearly in the same headspace.
The Senger strikeout is whatever, because let's be honest, every Met fan watching, Hayden Senger, bases loaded, nobody out. You can tell me all you want about the great story. We're all thinking, just don't ground into a double play. That's literally the thought of every Met fan. I'm sure there were some Met fans, you know who you are, who were like, should we tell Hayden Senger not to swing the bat? Just take 3. And if Hader somehow walks you, let's have a party. And if he doesn't, okay, no problem. At least he didn't bounce into a double play.
That's a real loser's mentality right there.
Well,
you know,
consider the source.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a lot of loser teams he roots for.
Very much so. But I think ultimately he just wanted to make sure Lindor and then Soto got their shots. And, of course, the latter ended up letting him down in a big way.
He takes 3-0 fine. He elevates a little bit on 3-1 and just misses it, but he swings it that crap out of the strike zone. Ugh. I love Juan Soto. We all love Juan Soto. That sucked as a debut.
Oh boy.
Wow, he's on base 3 times.
Yeah. He did
reference
that.
And he tried to win the game. He wanted to win the game. He wanted to win the game with a home run. You know, and all I can tell you is that that's him, and that's who he is. He's aggressive, and I can appreciate that.
Not a needle mover, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, for the Mets, he is.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just talking about overall in the big picture.
Okay.
That's all. Right. For the Mets, he is 100%.
Well, maybe by the end of the year, he'll have moved himself into that category, in your esteemed opinion, right? Game two of the series.
I wanted him 4 years ago. That's why Jerry went nuts in here.
Juan Soto.
Exactly. Yeah. So, of course, I appreciate him as a great baseball player. But, you know, I'm just telling you.
Do the Jets or Giants have a single needle mover on their team right now?
No.
I mean, they got
maybe Malik Neighbors could be.
Yeah, but there's there's so many wide receivers that are better than those guys. It's not even close.
Yeah, maybe Dexter. Well, no. I mean, those guys
are good players. They're not needle movers.
Yeah, they're not Nick Bosa. That's a needle mover.
Needle mover
at that
Sauce
position.
Maybe prior to last season, which was
last season.
All right,
Deion Sanders needle mover.
Yeah,
just in general is a needle mover.
Lamar Jackson.
No.
He's a great
quarterback. He's an MVP. I would have given him the MVP this year. But I'm like, Patrick Mahomes is the needle mover. And I would say, yeah, I guess you'd have to say Lamar, yeah, but...
Not playoffs-wise, but regular season,
again,
Lamar.
Again, that would be the argument against Aaron Judge. But still, Aaron Judge, when he goes on the road, people want to see Aaron Judge play baseball.
True.
They will buy a ticket. It's just like LeBron James. And we'd get angry when LeBron James would take those games off on the road.
Yeah.
Because people saw when the Lakers were coming to town, they bought those specific tickets to go see him play basketball.
Sure. Well, when the Ravens came to MetLife against the crappy Giants late in the year, it was a bigger crowd. A lot of Ravens fans. But
a lot of Ravens fans because they want to see their team win, and they want to see Lamar. They love Lamar. In Baltimore, yes. Needle mover in Baltimore for sure.
True.
Same thing I would say for, you know... But Patrick Mahomes is like the Tom Brady of this generation. You got to beat him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that's Jalen Hurts did beat him.
They did.
And could have beaten him. Jalen Hurts should have two Super Bowls.
Look at you. I'll get you some basketball stuff next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Networks. We were talking about needle movers in New York sports and in sports in general. And you mentioned that. You thought A-Rod was a needle mover, but Derek Jeter was not a needle mover. So this is, I bring this story to you. So Fox, where Derek Jeter works now with Kevin Burkhardt and A-Rod and David Ortiz, and am I missing anybody there? But they squashed an interview. Derek Jeter was booked on the Pat McAfee show, and Fox nixed it.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So do you think that's because Fox and ESPN just don't get along and they don't have their guys on the other platform?
That's kind of what it sounds like to me, yes.
So you don't think it was because McAfee gets everybody saying stuff and he's got LeBron on there cursing and Aaron Rodgers cursing that they put Derek Jeter in that situation, he's going to say something?
No, I think it's more...
What, interesting for a change?
That's what I'm talking about, like needle movers, right? So, no, I think that's probably just more Fox, ESPN... You know, like your guys don't come on our shows, then we're not putting our guys on your shows, that kind of thing.
Okay. So it's not like, hey, don't put Derek Jeter on because they might ask them about the Fox Sports lawsuit.
Right. There's only one. Well, that's the other thing, too. There's only one, you know, Michael Strahan. He could work for every network.
That's true.
But
it does
really
work.
If Jeter goes on and says, I'm doing it, the hell with you. Fox is going to fire Derek Jeter? No shot.
Yeah, but I think it also is a way for Derek Jeter not have to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he apparently agreed to it at some point.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a cool show to go on, you know, if they invite you on. But I still think it sounds like a Fox versus ESPN thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they would ask him, well, they'd ask about the Fox lawsuit. They'd ask about the gift bag that he used to give the women. They'd ask him all that stuff, and Fox probably wants no part of that, you know?
Why?
Because...
I would think
why do they want no part of the lawsuit thing?
Maybe not the lawsuit thing, but the gift bags and the parking tickets and all that other stuff. Yeah, I think that would all be fine.
Maybe. It'd be fine for us. We'd be into listening to it. But you know how tight ass everybody is about everything. You know?
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got like guys like Big Hurls running around all nervous about stuff, you know?
let's not go down that road. Please.
Go down what road? My point is that there are executives who are nervous about things. It's not just Big Hurls. Just Big Hurls just happens to be our program director. If it was Spike, I would have said the same thing. It's just that you got guys like that whose job it is to make sure that there's not controversy.
So maybe somebody at Fox felt like, hey, let's not just put Derek Jeter in this situation.
Yes.
I can see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. But that's where you think it ends.
And if they said something about to Derek about the lawsuit going on over there, he can easily just say, I have no idea. I didn't work for that group. I don't know what that is. I'm with my baseball group, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he could get out of that, but it's also, yeah. I mean, they need to keep going after
him. He's smart enough to get out of anything.
Mo in Brooklyn, what's going on, Mo?
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, I've got a couple. I want to get to this moving the needle thing in a second, but my question was, I heard you talking about the double play. With the MLB app going down yesterday, I don't know if you guys knew that. It was really frustrating. Why did we pinch hit for Torrens with nobody on base, with nothing going on, and losing that bullet in the chamber in the ninth inning? We needed it with Jesse could get up then in a tight spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, right? If you think about in that, I'm trying to think, did I miss? There was no sort of other switch in that situation.
There was no urgency right then. He just decided to pinch hit, which I felt was kind of odd. And then we lost that opportunity when we really needed.
The only thing I can think is that Carlos Mendoza was trying to get something going, trying to get something started, and trying to keep Winker away from Hader.
Yeah, and also, I don't even know about that. But no, but Winker was, he was used, though. He was used earlier. He got, he lined out, didn't he?
Wasn't but he shouldn't have been.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been
that's
in
the
that
point,
situation.
But that's what
he's
saying. And I just think maybe they just felt like that was the moment to put him in there and see if he can get a hit.
Yeah, okay.
I got a question. Now, on the moving the needle.
Yeah.
Can you be a temporary guy that moves the needle?
Yes, 100%. Jim and I have been talking about this. So
could you be a Cespedes?
Yeah, you could be like a Cespedes with that yellow armband. You could be a Matt Harvey.
Jeremy Lin?
How about Jeremy Lin was a needle mover, but temporarily.
Yep. You know what, Mo? You are right on it. 100% temporary.
I would even say like Jalen Brunson was a needle mover there last year.
Well, he still is.
No, but I mean, but really last year is when you saw it. And everybody got excited about it, and now there are expectations that come along with it.
Yeah, but he's also a guy. Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't put him in that category.
Well, I did for the Knick fan. He's a needle mover.
Hi, I'm Boomer Esiason, and I have Linsanity.
Yeah, definitely a needle mover.
That's right.
It's like a month long needle mover right there. That is the prime example of that,
of a temporary needle mover.
You know who else was a needle mover when he was coming out of college and then basically fell flat on his face due to injury? Was Zion Williamson?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you. Here's an interesting one. Was Tommy DeVito a temporary needle mover?
You know, if the team was really successful and gone on to the playoffs, I would say yes. I think it was a fun story, but it was a losing record team. It was a bad team.
Okay. But he still, during that time, he was the only thing that was bringing us joy in New York football.
With cheese.
And it was a needle mover for us.
It certainly was. Yeah. You got the whole meet and greet situation. People showed up for him.
Yeah.
Big deal. He made Sean Morash into a human chicken parm.
When Patrick Ewing was drafted by the Knicks with the ice-cold envelope, that was a needle mover.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Of course. Maybe we're talking about Tommy DeVito here.
I know, but when the Nets signed Kevin Durant and he didn't play, that didn't really move the needle.
No.
I mean, there are some franchises you can't move the needle with.
Impossible.